Welcome to Recovery Stories Yukon, a series of powerful and inspiring shares depicting the unique ways that each guest has managed to achieve and maintain sobriety. The purpose of this podcast is to break stigmas, bring hope, and show that recovery is possible within our communities. Today on Recovery Stories, we have Ellen. She's 38 years old. She lives in Whitehorse, and her sober date is October 27th, 2022. Welcome, Ellen. Please start your story wherever you'd like.
So yeah, I was born and raised in Whitehorse. My dad bought a small house with a big property out in Marsh Lake. So that's where me and my brother were raised. Life was good until my dad started drinking, is from what I could remember. He started drinking and cheating on my mom. And then she started drinking. Things from there went downhill. I was left with random people. My parents started fighting and partying a lot. The only place I've enjoyed being was at school, even though I was like one of the only First Nations kids out of maybe a few. I went to school at Golden Horn. I had friends. I could remember I had a few best friends, and they're the ones who kept me going at this time. By the age of 7, my mom left. Felt like my whole world fell apart. My dad was heartbroken, but tried his best with us. I could remember sitting on a cliff looking over Marsh Lake, wishing to be with my mom, wishing and hoping she would come home. I felt so unlost and alone without her. This was the loneliest time of my life. Yeah, by the age of 7, 8, my brother and I ended up in a foster home down the road from our house. It was a good place, but it wasn't a home. One of the girls that were in the home was my best friend, which made it more comfortable. After about 6 months, my dad got us back. Things were good at home, but I still felt lonely. Around this time, I got to spend time with my mom. She had met someone else and moved in with him. My dad let me move in with her at this time. My brother stayed behind with him, with my dad. It wasn't a safe place, but I didn't care. I just wanted to be with my mom. I made friends and went to school at Selkirk, but this didn't last very long. I had to move back with my dad. My mom's drinking got out of hand, and family and children's got involved. So yeah, I had to move back with my dad to Marsh Lake. I did love growing up there. We got to spend a lot of time out on the land, and my dad had raised chickens and turkeys, and he had one of the biggest gardens out in the subdivision. In the winters, we would just go sliding like till dark. My dad, I could remember him making the garden, like that space, into a big skating rink for my brother, who was into hockey. My dad got me into gymnastics. But yeah, it was good. By the age of 11, 12, I felt that I was old enough to run away from home and hitchhike to town from Marsh Lake to be with my mom. I started high school and I was able to move in with her. We lived in Riverdale. There, when I started high school, I found like my little crew. There were 6 of us. Yeah, we all grew up in unstable homes. We were all lost, but we had each other. I was introduced to alcohol and marijuana at the age of 12. I absolutely loved it. Alcohol made me forget about the chaos going on inside my head. It drowned the hurt and pain and guilt and shame I was feeling from my abandonment issues. It made me feel free and strong. It was just my go-to. I smoked weed pretty much every day and drank almost every weekend if I could. I would drink every day. It was my escape. Me and my mom got kicked out of our place in Riverdale. We moved into a basement suite downtown on Low Street. Around this time, I started cutting my wrists and stuff. It was like another way to escape the pain I was feeling. We continued to drink. We drank a lot at this new place. My drinking increased to weekends and weekdays. Our house was a party house. We never had groceries, but we always had booze. I ended up in the drunk tank several times at this age, 12 years old. Family and Children Services got involved. They put me in a receiving home a few times, but I never stayed there. I always ran away. Finally, they just gave up on me and I was able to be on my own. I could remember when my dad got a place in town with my brother on Jekyll Street. He was worried about me and my drinking. He would stop by my mom's to check on me and give me money, mostly every week. The parties continued at my mom's. There was times where I was in so many unsafe situations, times where my mom should have protected me but didn't. I didn't care. I thought it was normal. Oh yeah, we stayed in the basement suite on Low Street for about 2 years, and I continued to drink and go to school. We got kicked out when I was about 15. I dropped out of school that time. I moved in with my dad and my brother on Jekyll Street. I went back to school. I continued to drink, but managed to stay in school until the age 17. I got introduced to crack and older men. In my mind, I thought this was normal. I enjoyed smoking crack, but I loved alcohol more. Around this time, I met someone. He was great. He was 2 years older than me. He was funny. He loved me, and we just clicked. But my abandonment issues made this relationship hard. Around this time, I tried committing suicide. I was hospitalized for 3 days. I ended up going back home after those 3 days and carried on drinking. I was still with this person. Yeah, we ended up getting a place in, was it Tokini Trailer Park? And I ended up getting pregnant with my son. I managed to abstain from alcohol for the 9 months being pregnant. My son was born. We lived in the trailer with his dad for about a year, and then we ended up getting kicked out with our son. We stayed in a hotel at the Bonanza Inn for a bit, and then we got kicked out of there, and I had to move home with my dad and my son. And yeah, I started drinking around that time. So my son was about 3 months old. I ended up losing him to Family and Children Services. From there, I lost it. I had enough. I started drinking and smoking crack every day. I hung out with older men and women, and I was at the bar scene every day. I did what I needed to do to support my addiction. My son was still on my mind every day, and I felt so defeated. I wanted my son, but my addiction was there, and all that hurt and pain I was carrying, I just couldn't stand to feel it. I had to drown that with alcohol and drugs, and I still got to visit with him. I fought in court to get him back with my dad's support, but I failed. He went up for adoption at the age of 3. But I was still able to see him after that. It was an open adoption. This made my addiction worse than ever. The pain inside of me grew and grew. The loss of my son had a major part in my addiction. I gave up. I sold myself for money, drugs, and alcohol. I dated drug dealers and abusive men. I almost died from smoking crack and swallowing burning Brillo. But I survived. By the age of 19, I realized I had a problem. I started having DTs, severe vomiting, cold sweats, shaking, just everything that came with. But I still managed to graduate from the ILC. I was homeless because my dad couldn't put up with my drinking anymore. I worried him. I was out of hand. I stayed anywhere I could. I carried on doing what I needed to do to support my addiction. Yeah, around this time I met someone. He was 20 years older than me. He just got out of the penitentiary. He was sober while I drank vodka every day. He took care of me, but he was really abusive, and I thought this was normal. My hangovers got worse. I was hospitalized every time I sobered up. My health was really poor. During this time, I could remember my sister passed. This was a really tough one on me. I attended her funeral in Old Crow. When I got back, I drank. I think at this point, I was drinking to die. The doctor warned me that if I carried on drinking, my liver would shut down. So I tried to quit. I remember it was around this time too, my mom had sobered up. I could remember losing my sister really took a toll on her. And my sister told my mom, like, all she wanted was for my mom to sober up. And she did. And that was 15 years ago now, 16 years ago. Yeah, me and my partner, we moved into a place with my mom. I ended up going back to school at the college. I started having visits with my son. And then we ended up getting married. I thought I was in love, but yeah, it wasn't love. It was something else. I still struggled with alcohol, but not as much. I was scared for my life. In 2011, I was blessed with my daughter. I believe she saved me. I sobered up. My husband, myself, and my baby moved in with my dad. Ended up getting my license, and I went back to college. I took office admin, and I did better than I ever did in my life at that time. About a year later, I left my husband. I was tired of the abuse, and I finally realized that he was cheating on me behind my back with other young, vulnerable girls. I got my own place with my daughter, and I abstained from alcohol for 4 years until I got into another toxic relationship that triggered me to go back out and drink again. I remember that weekend, I fell off. My daughter was in a safe place, and I ended up right back where I started. I got charged with assault, mischief, and impaired, and I ended up in WCC for a week. Me and my daughter, a few weeks later, ended up going to treatment. We went to treatment in Port Alberni. I got sober again and abstained from alcohol for about a year, maybe. And then I met someone else and ended up getting pregnant with him, with his kid, and we had a little girl. That relationship too was toxic. I stayed with him for about 2 years, and then he started cheating. And then again, my abandonment issues got in the way, and I just had enough. Going back to think, remembering what my mom went through with my dad. She had enough of my dad cheating. She had enough of being hurt, and she gave up. And that's what I did. Let down, and I gave up again. And I lost my kids for 3 years. Both my daughters, they ended up staying with their dad for about a year, and I gave up. I was back down at the shelter, drinking and drugging, and I ended up in a relationship. It was very unhealthy. We both fed off each other. We both loved drinking and drugs, and I missed my girls a lot. Nothing killed the pain. I just, the pain was always there. So I drank because I didn't want to feel. Finally, I could remember one morning I woke up. I still had a bit of a bottle left. I was really scared to get sick because every time I'd get sick, I would end up in the emergency. My brother came to my house, and he told me, like, Ellen, this is enough. And I felt like that too. I felt like I've had enough. The guy who I was with ended up back in jail. I felt like that wasn't the relationship for me and I needed my kids back. I ended up going home to my mom's house with my brother. I stayed there for 4 days and slept and got my strength back.
So, yeah, the programs that helped me get sober this time, I did not go to a 28-day treatment just because I felt I had all those tools from treatment before. On my beginning of my recovery journey this time around, I went to Andy Nyman's Positive Choices, Positive Voices. It was a week-long program. It was about how to just change your mind to from negative to positive. And that really helped me in the beginning of my recovery. And then I went to Transformations in Prince George, and that was a really life-changing experience. While I was there, I met Diane Strand, who has a family therapy farm called Shothanazi, means healing on the land. I've been in that program for up to about a year now. So I go out there every month with my girls to the farm, and we do our healing together. And then they just recently started up a recovery group. So I take part in that every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 9, and it's a great group with a great bunch of great facilitators.
I remembered what I went through when I was little, living without a mom. And I did not want to put my daughters through that. I promised myself I would never let my daughters grow up like that. So I got my girls back with me 2 years ago, and we're still healing. We still have our times like where we struggle, but I got a job at the Yukon Aboriginal Women's Council about a year ago. And I worked my way up to program coordinator at a lunch program called Sally and Sisters. We serve lunch to women and children and support vulnerable women. And I'm also a recovery coach and a grief counselor. And I don't think I'll ever go back to drinking or drugging, you know. I'm raising my daughters in a good way. Showing them that they don't need alcohol and drugs to kill their pain.
When you went to the treatment center in Port Alberni, did you say you were able to take your daughter with you?
Yes, yeah. I went there twice. I went there once with my oldest daughter. She's 13 now. Me and her went down and got to spend 6 weeks there. And then the second time I took both of my girls down and it was nice to be able to heal with them, bring them on that journey with me.
What's it like for you now when you go to social events?
I'm okay to go to social events with as long as I'm with other sober people. I do have a really good support system. I think that's very important in your recovery because you cannot do it alone. At first, it was just my parents, and then I reached out. You have to reach out because the more you reach out, the more stronger you get, the more support you get. My friends I have today, I couldn't ask for anything better. Like, it's just amazing. I believe they were brought to me for a reason. I do a lot of smudging and praying, and what has helped me is playing it through. Like, if I think about drinking or drugging, I'll play it through to the end. Where is it going to take me? And like, yeah, it sure seems fun in the beginning, but in the end, it's not worth it. It's not worth the problems that alcohol and drugs cause or the pain and it brings to your kids.
Do you talk a lot with your kids about drugs and alcohol?
I do talk a lot about it with my older daughter. When I was that age, I had nobody. I was so alone. And I'm scared for her because it's such a different place from when I was that age. So I try to support her as much as I can and share my experience, strength, and hope with her.
The last question that I always ask, Ellen, is what are you most grateful for in your sobriety?
I'm just grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for my girls, my son. They're what kept me going through my addiction. Like, there's so many times I wanted to end my life, but I couldn't do it. They're what kept me strong. And then my mom and dad just always being there, like, was there for me. Like, even though she was not physically, her love and presence was there. And my dad, yeah, he's always been there, my biggest supporter.
I want to thank you so much, Ellen, for being here today and sharing your story to help others.
Thank you. This has been an honor.
Thank you for listening. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, you can get help by calling the Yukon Government Mental Wellness and Substance Use Services at 1-866-456-3838 or by reaching out to Theki Anate, Fly Like an Eagle program, at 867-333-2497. If you would like to share your story on this podcast, please email recoverystoriesyukon@gmail.com.